I'm speaking to you from the book of 2 Peter. I invite you to turn there, but just keep your finger there and go to some other verses. Because what I want to talk to you about this morning is something that everyone loves to hear. And I'm going to slide in beside you this morning, and I want to talk in your ear because I want to talk to you about a secret. A secret. Everybody likes to have a secret. You know, you just think that you can just get this little secret formula to whatever you want to do. Teams that are in competition with each other, they try to steal secrets. Governments try to steal secrets from each other. Because we feel like if we can just get this little secret, we can get an advantage on our opposition, whatever it may be. So I want to talk to you this morning something about the secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord. Now there is a secret. Now the gospel is to be preached and proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Our Lord gave that instruction to us, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We believe in witnessing. We believe in telling everyone about the glorious news of what Christ has done for His people on the cross of Calvary. It's something we sing about. It's something we publish every way we possibly can about the good news of what Christ has done for His people. But there is a secret that only some people know. In Proverbs, the third chapter, I'm reading at verse 32. And I'll give you a couple other verses in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 32. For the forward, well, let me start at verse 31. Proverbs 3:31. Envy thou not the oppressor. Now, the word oppressor means the man of violence, the wicked, the ungodly. You remember David said in one of his psalms, said, my feet almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It's a problem that every one of us, sometime or another, have problems with. When we see wicked, ungodly people doing things and being successful, seemingly like, in what they're doing, it just kind of gnaws at you. You just don't like it. You know it's unfair. They're getting by with things that someone somewhere, you'd like to think that, hey, someone catch them or do something about it. I remember one particular occasion driving down the road when I was not speeding. That's normal for me. In days past, it was not quite so normal. But I wasn't speeding. I was going down the road to the speed limit, and I was in a double line, you know, don't pass when it's double line, and suddenly here comes this car passing me. I don't know, it just seemed like he was going at a terrific high rate of speed, passing me up on a double line. I was just, you know, provoked about that. Because here I was obeying the law, this man was breaking the law, and I just knew that if I should ever do that, I'd get caught. A policeman would be around somewhere or another. And I said, maybe you've done the same thing. Where's the policeman now? You'd like to have a policeman to right there and catch that man. Well, I'll tell you, we went down the road about a mile farther, and the man had been pulled off by the policeman. And the blue light was going, and I couldn't help but just say, somebody got caught. Well, that's just human nature, all of us. We get provoked when we see what we think is the success or the prosperity of the wicked. Now, Proverbs says, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. That's something we have to constantly, as parents, you've had to tell your children, don't choose their ways. But it's not only for the young person going along, it's also the businessman. It's everybody in every area of your life. Because you think you see the success of the wicked, you are tempted to, you know, fudge here a little bit and take something they do. They're getting by with it. Choose not his ways. Why? Verse 32. For the forward, that's this wicked person, is an abomination to the Lord. Now look at the next phrase. But his secret is with the righteous. His secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Now back to Psalms for a minute, please. Psalms chapter 25 and verse 14. Psalms 25 and verse 14. The secret of the Lord. There it is again. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Now down to chapter 27. I'll read verses 4 and 5. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty or the glory of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Now verse 5. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. In the secret of His tabernacle, He will hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now here is a person describing a time of turmoil, trouble. David, of course, knew war. Many years he had to flee from Saul. He was the main object of the king of Israel as an adversary, and for several years he had to hide out, flee, and try to escape from the armies of Saul who was pursuing after him. And so he was a man who was very much familiar with travail and trouble and opposition and persecution. And so he says here, in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. There's a place wherein that David said he knew that he was safe, or he could feel secure, be secured, knowing that the Lord would hide him, guard over him. And it was in the place he calls the secret of His tabernacle, or the house of the Lord, and He shall set me upon a rock, meaning, signifying, that he would not be moved, or that here on this high rock as a fortress, here was a safe place. Many, many times enemies have erected and dug, established secret places. Many years ago, our own government, during what was referred to as the Cold War days, had in West Virginia, and there in what's now known as the Greenbrier Hotel, and then the Greenbrier Hotel, underneath that hotel was a secret place where that our government could flee to in the time of war. All of us, from time to time, have hoped for and wanted a secret place that we could just get away from all of the problems of life. We take sometimes vacations just to get away from it all. As some people in other parts of the world, they call vacations holidays, just to get away from it, relaxation. But at the same time, there are problems that you just cannot escape from. They're all around you. You're confronted with them every day. I have likened a church service to that place where we can go to for refuge and shelter and encouragement. I liken it to a football team's huddle. You get together and we encourage each other, and we prepare for the next week and the conflicts and the struggles. But all of that is temporary. I'll take you to the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And of course, when I said the book of Revelation, you immediately, I'm sure, your mind goes to end time things. Well, when is the end time of things? I don't know. It may be before this day is over with. I do not subscribe, and others may, and I do not subscribe to the doctrine of 7 years of tribulation and 1,000 years of reign. I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ and the imminent end of all things, according to my understanding of the Scriptures. Now, I can be wrong, and I don't deny that I possibly could be wrong about few things. I don't think I ever have been wrong, but I just might be, but on that particular item. But that's not important right now. What I am pointing out to us is something that we all are aware of, is something that's maybe described as end time things. Now, what is the secret of the Lord? Here, I believe, is something that we as God's people can treasure up and remind ourselves as the secret of the Lord that we can have as a comfort for the soul. Revelation 19, I'll begin reading at verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For truth and righteousness are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore who did corrupt the earth with fornication and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. Now what He is talking about is world religion, not just one particular denomination. This is the consummation. This is all the religions of the world. There is a unification among all religions of the world, which is this. They are opposed to the truth. Whatever denomination, whatever religion that you may be talking about, it is headed up by this, what the Bible refers to as the great whore, which is a religious system. I believe that in days past, it was somewhat known among what we refer to as being the Anabaptists as being the great whore of Roman Catholicism. I do not believe that that is the only religion that is headed up or that is described by the great whore. I believe it is all the religions of the world. And if you are aware of what's going on in the religious circles, all the religions of the world are really functioning together, cooperating together in an ecumenical movement to just have one religion. And if you have just one religion, then you must stamp out and destroy any other religion that will not conform. Well, that's what's been going on ever since the days that Cain slew Abel. The reason why Cain slew Abel, the Word of God says, because that Abel was righteous. He hated him because his works because he was righteous. And so the ungodly world, ungodly religious world, is opposed to the truth and true Christianity. And so here, where there is end time celebration, for truth and righteousness are His judgment, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of her servants at her hand. Ever since the blood of Adam, the blood of Abel, was slain, there is a long trail of saints of God who have died for the truth of God. And it is being intensified. I believe that the nearer we get toward end time, the more intense is going to be this persecution, and the greater is going to be the death of the saints of God. Now, we like to think in this modern religious world that you and I live in that there's no such thing as religious persecution and as Christian martyrs. Well, if you would read certain books such as the Martyrs magazine, the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, you would learn that there are more Christians dying for the truth of Christ than at any other time in history. So there is coming a day, though, when Christ is going to judge the world and hath avenged the blood of His servants at our hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and their smoke rose up forever and ever. I cannot help but relate to you just a story that I read the other day in history about a man, an Anabaptist preacher, very educated man, that was burned at the stake because he would not submit to the great whore. And not only was he burned at the stake, but his wife was also taken and drowned. Those are some of the horrible things that happened in days past, but I will tell you it is still ongoing and it is going to be intense, I believe, and multiple as time draws near toward the end. Then in verse 4 here, the 19th chapter, and the 4 and 20 elders and the 4 beasts, and that word actually means 11 creatures, fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitudes, the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thunders, saying, Now, what is it that's got everybody excited? Well, it is this. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The secret of the Lord is that here's something that God's people know. We know it because not of evident facts. Now, there are some evidences in days past, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But it's not because of what we see with the physical eye that gives us this knowledge. It is a secret. It's a secret that only God's people are aware of and know. We know how the ball game is going to end up. We know what's going to happen at the end time. We know who is going to be successful in all of these things. And so while it may seem like, momentarily, while it may seem like here in time, that things are going right the opposite of how we would like for them to go, and how what it may appear like that God's people are being put down and destroyed, and that our enemies and adversaries are winning, we have a secret. And this is the secret of God, of the Lord, that God's people know by the revelation of the Word of God and by the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God. We have this secret. It is that God rules and reigns in the affairs of men, and that when everything has been consummated and the end of time does come, here's what's going to be revealed. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that His name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the secret that God's people know, and it is a comfort to our hearts, is a peace to our hearts, and it is a means whereby that in the face of every adversary, we can say, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. He does reign. Now let me show you how that this is referred to in the Bible sometimes. Let me go back again to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. The 13th chapter of Revelation. There is, in this 13th chapter, there is speaking about the reign and the exaltation and the domination of the Antichrist. Now, I believe that Antichrist has been in the world ever since the days of Jesus Christ. John speaks about the Antichrist and said, Now this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Always, ever since Christ has been on the face of the earth, there have been those who have been opposed to the teachings and the doctrines of Christ, and so there are Antichrists. And so as this religious system formulates and as it has been concentrated into somewhat a one body organization, there is this person maybe that seems to kind of reign, and he exercises great dominion in the world, and the world seems to flock after him. And in verse 6 of the 13th chapter, and he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme His name and His tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And to him was given to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. Uh-oh, that doesn't read like we want to read. We want to read that God's people are never overcome. Well, Paul says that in Romans, the 8th chapter, that in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Well, we are. But momentarily, from time to time, it will seem like that Satan is ruling and reigning, and that we are being overrun and overcome by the Antichrist. Well, and to him was given power over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. Now just note that. It is a biblical fact. All that dwell on the earth are going to be involved and are involved in this religious system. And they worship the Antichrist. Well, you say that man is said to be a man of got 666 numbers in his head and so forth, and he was given power to put a sign and symbol of everybody's forehead and so forth. You know, folks, people get caught up with figurative language and they are ensnared by saying, I'm waiting to see this man that's going to put, got a big number on his head, 666. I was talking to a man the other day, and I'm not going to refer to him, but it just illustrates the point that he got a room at a certain hotel, and the number in the on the room was 666. And he told me, I don't know whether I want to stay where I even hesitate to stay in that room. If there is something that we feel like that there's some kind of special power in that number, 666, that is simply the expression whereby of a Trinity power of men. The number of man is six. So here is this power of Antichrist, this world humanistic reign that's formulating together, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. Then note the next statement. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, here is the secret of the Lord, and here is something that God's people need to know, that everyone is not going to worship the Antichrist, and everyone is not involved in the world religious anti-God system, but it is only some people who are the elect of God, and it is those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. Now, I'm giving it to you as the Greek reads, not as the King James here reads. It is whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from before the foundation of the world. So it is that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. Now, that's language that the Bible means, which says this. You who have been quickened by the Holy Spirit. The book of Revelation refers to this several times. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. What it is simply saying, those who have a quickened ear. Not everyone is going to hear this. There are people who have physical ears and they can hear not. And our Lord spoke about those who having ears hear not. But he that hath ear, a spiritual ear, been made quickened by the Holy Spirit, and you can hear the secret of the Lord. You remember the prophet saw a great whirlwind pass. And the Lord was not in the whirlwind. And there was a great earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. And then there was a small, still voice. And it was the Lord speaking. Well, this is the secret of the Lord. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. What? Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. This is the satanic powers that seduce and lean into captivity the souls of people by their deception, by drugs, by the deception of sin, and people are caught up in this bondage of false religion and by various means are seduced. They that lead into captivity, they themselves shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Now here's the point. Next phrase. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now, the word patience is a very important thing. We all say sometimes, you know, I need more patience. Well, the word patience has the idea, the root of it, as simply being confidence based upon a sure trust. That's patience. Confidence based upon a sure trust. You know this is the way it's going to be. Or you trust something. And because you trust that, you believe emphatically this is the way it's going to be, you can then be patient to see it out, work out. Again, I'll use my reference to a ball game. You know, sometimes you have watching a ball game and it seems like that your favorite team is losing. But if you happen to know what the final score is ahead of time, and sometimes by the marvel of television, well, you do know that, you know, you're getting a replay. And maybe the game was played last year. They're on television, they have that going on. They play some game back in the past, some outstanding game, and you already know, because it's a historical event, you've already known what the outcome of the game was, who won, who lost. And so you're watching this replay, and it seems like that the opponent is winning. Well, okay, that's all right. I know what the final score was. And so you're at peace about that matter. Well, this is the patience of the saints. Here is what the final score is. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And here is the patience of the saints. The 14th chapter of Revelation. Look at this again in verse 12. I'll start reading in verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead and in his hand. Now, I don't believe that this is a literal thing. I believe that this is figurative language. I believe it's talking about the mentality, the concept, the philosophy, and the works of people. They do the things that conform to the world's religion. They sent the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. You see, that's all figurative language telling us that God's going to bring judgment upon this world religious system, and He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. Note that. He shall be tormented. Those who follow this false world religious system and all the efforts of the ungodly, they will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, or actually from the presence of the holy angels and from the presence of the Lord, and we'll come back to that in a minute, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for 30 minutes. Is that what it says in your Bible? Forever and ever. And they shall have no rest day and night, who worship the beast and his image, and who worship whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Christ. Here is the comfort, the patience of the saints. Now go back with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I begin reading at verse 5. Well, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith. You note that. These two words are connected together, patience and faith. You have faith, you believe God, therefore there is patience. This patience is grounded in the faith of believing the Word of God. For your patience and faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you, what? Endure. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. What's he saying? God's going to avenge. God's going to bring tribulation. God's going to bring trouble upon all of those that trouble you. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, get your gun, get your bombs, and let's go marching down the street. No. Rest. Rest. You can draw a line from the word rest to the word patience. They mean the same thing. It means to trust, to wait. Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. What? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. This is what's going to be their judgment. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Here is the patience of the saints that Paul is talking about. This is the secret, I believe, of the Lord. We know the outcome. We know the end of the whole issue. Now let's go to 2 Peter. All of that was introduction to the 2 Peter chapter 2. We noted last week the characteristic of false teachers. We gave you 8 descriptions of the false teachers. Beginning in chapter 2, they are, in verses 1 through 2, they are deceitful and secretive workers. Verse 3, they are covetous. In verse 10, we noted that they follow after their own fleshly lust. In verse 11, they are disrespectful of authority. In verses 12 and 14, they are a disgrace to grace. And verse 15 and 16, they have departed from the way of righteousness. And verse 17, they are delusionary. They promise things of false delusions. And therefore, in verses 18 and 19, they speak, they are full of lies. Now, what about what's going to happen? All these ungodly teachers, false teachers, this false world religious system, all the wicked, what is the patience of the saints? What is the secret of the Lord? Well, chapter 2, verse 1, that the Lord, that they God will bring upon themselves swift destruction. Swift destruction. Verses 2 and 9, we note, they have a sure destruction. I read, beginning at verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Now look in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, there's different ideas about exactly what this is referring to. Some think that this is referring to the rebellion that took place among the angels, and there was the Bible describes in the 12th chapter of Revelation, there was a war in heaven in which Satan, the author of sin, deceived a third of the angels, and those angels left not their first estate. Now, that this verse may be referring to that, those people. Jude speaks about them in the book of Jude. I'll read to you just a few verses there from the book of Jude and verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains with darkness under the judgment of the great day. So here are these angels, great in power, angelic beings. Peter is telling us, Jude is telling us, that God brought judgment upon these mighty angels. They are reserved in judgment right now. Not only them, verse 5. Of 2 Peter chapter 2. He spared not the old world. Here was the whole world. Not only the angels, but the whole world at one time. It became so wicked that God brought a judgment of flood against that whole world, and everyone perished except for 8 souls in the ark. Not only that, verse 6, the great mighty cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. These were great thriving cities. This was not just some little rinky-dink town. We refer to them, you know, here in America, one-horse town or something other like that, one-stop-like town. No, that wasn't. Sodom and Gomorrah were great metropolitan towns. They were big cities. But God brought a judgment upon them in a swift, immediate destruction so that even today you cannot find the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah. He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example of those that afterward should live ungodly and delivered just Lot. Now, we've spoken to you about Lot, that he had an imputed righteousness. This is a description of all the rights of God's people. You know, Lot is not a character that we really like to hold up as an example of good behavior. But he is an example of God's free and sovereign grace that he had an imputed righteousness. We noted that it is impeccable, and we noted also it's irrevocable. It is cannot be taken back. God imputes it. That's our righteousness in Christ Jesus. He bestows it upon us by His sovereign grace. It is imputed not because of works, but because of Christ, and therefore it is irrevocable. It is ours in Christ. He delivered just Lot. Lot was a lot like many of us. It says in verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Can't you sympathize with what it says about Lot? You just get so irritated and aggravated about what you see going on. Well, the secret of the Lord is this, verse 9. Here's what the Lord wants us to know. Verse 9. The Lord, that's where our confidence is to be. That's where the patience is. That's the comfort of the saints. It's first of all, the Lord. To know this. To know the Lord. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Psalm 23, the verse, great psalm, that has been such a great comfort to many people in various times of trouble and tribulation, begins with this. The Lord. The Lord Jehovah. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The great Jehovah God, the everlasting, the eternal God, the Lord, my shepherd is. If you don't know the Lord as your shepherd, then you have no comfort in the time of trouble. You see, all the blessings and the benefits of Psalms 23 flow from this personal relationship with the Lord. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our Shepherd. He is the Great Judge. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of tribulations. Isn't that good? Tribulations, trials, difficulties, testings. Paul said in Corinthians, there's no temptation that's overtaken you but such as is common to man. I've said that here are three lies the devil tries to tell us about our problems. First of all, that ours are unique. If you can just isolate you and get you to thinking that my problems are just like nobody else has ever had before, and whatever God may promise and whatever God may done for somebody else in days past, He won't do it for me because I have a unique situation. There's no trial, temptation that's overtaken you but such as is common. In every way, there is something common about all of our problems. All of them are common to the Lord. Or things such as common to me. But God is faithful. The devil wants us to believe that God just will not keep His word. He just made some promises, but He's not going to keep His word. He is faithful. And the devil will have you to believe that God's not able. But He is able to deliver you. But God, with every trial, every temptation, is able to deliver us. Peter says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. That's enough right there. It ought to be a great comfort to every one of us just to simply to say, first of all, I know the Lord. And that I know that He has this potential. See, the first thing you note here, this verse, is the person involved. It doesn't say the president. It doesn't say the general. It doesn't say the banker. Aren't you glad? Or the Wall Street. Aren't you glad? It is the Lord. The person involved here. It's not the preacher either. It's not someone else. It's not my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. But the Lord and His potential. He knoweth how to deliver the godly out of trials and temptations. Every one of them. Psalms 34. Turn with me there for a minute, if you would, please. 34th chapter of Psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means the Lord Jehovah. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord. Capital O, capital R, capital D with me. And let us exalt His name together. Why? I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And the next words. And He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto Him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. And here's something that he says, I've learned. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that feareth him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that putteth his trust in the Lord. So Peter says, the Lord is able, knows how, to deliver the godly out of temptations. Well, that's a great comfort to us, to know that all of our troubles and all of our distresses, that the Lord will keep us. There is no temptation or taking you, but what God is able to deliver us from every one of them, and thereby, as Paul says, we can be more than conquerors in Christ that loved us. And we will be with the Lord, rejoicing with Him for all eternity. Well, that's one side of the coin. That's one aspect of it. But there's something else that we need to know. Here's the patience of the saints. Here's the comfort. God is going to judge the wicked. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment and be punished. They've not escaped it. Oh, they've not escaped it here in this life. You know, they go through life and seeming like they just prosper and there's no judgment. They do wickedly. They do terrible things and they just get by with it all. And you want to say, where is the Lord? Did the Lord know what's going on? And the innocent and the righteous suffer, and truth seems to be trampled down on the streets, and this ungodly world and wickedness and ungodly truth is seeming to be triumphant. But wait. First of all, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. So we won't be overrun. We will not be ultimately, finally defeated. Even in death, we are victorious. So we can say in the very face of death, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory, O grave? For we know that in the very moment of our death, we are meeting, taken to be with the Lord. Not only do we have that blessed experience, but when the Lord will come, we will experience the resurrection of glorified bodies, and with glorified bodies, we will be with the Lord forever and ever. We are more than victors through Him that, more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But there's more than that. There is a judgment for the wicked. That's the patience. That's the secret of the Lord. We know God is not going to abandon His people, nor is the Lord going to ignore and forget about all the wickedness and ungodly things that the ungodly world is doing. The Lord knoweth how to reserve. That word reserve is a very important word. You read about this in over in Jude. We talked about where Jude says that the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Reserve. It's like a prisoner on death row. He's there in the cell. He's locked in. He's in bondage. Now, you don't see that, you see, by the physical eye. We don't see that by our natural human understanding. We get angry because ungodly, wicked things are done, and it just seems like that there's no judgment anywhere, and people just getting by with it, and they're just... But look, the ungodly are reserved. They are being kept by the power of God. You and I are kept by the power of God from destruction. They are kept by the same power of God unto destruction. Do you believe the Lord is able to keep His people and keep us eternally saved, and that there's no foe that can be victorious, and that, as the Lord said, that no one can pluck us out of the Lord's hand? Yes, I believe that. But the same power and the same hand that keeps the saints of God, that same power keeps the wicked held in bondage, in chains, reserved unto the day of judgment. That's the secret of the Lord. You won't read that in the newspapers. You won't hear it on television. NBC won't carry it. ABC, they won't have it. Even Fox News won't have it. You see, because it's a secret. That God's people know. I can whisper it to your ear, and you can hear it with the physical ear. And you can say, well, that's just the preacher. That's Brother Herb's idea about things. But if the Lord speaks to your heart, that's what's the important thing. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, you see. It's the secret of the Lord. It is the peace of knowing that God is always in control at all times. And it's not a frustration and distress about who may win the election. That's secondary. Oh, we have some people that we'd like to see won and elected. But whomever is elected, we know that the powers will be ordained of God. He's in control. Oh, we'd like to maybe see the Wall Street market go up. We'd like to see the price of gas go down. I would. And we'd like to see the price of oil go down. We hate to see ungodly people getting rich off of poor people here in America. And yet it seems like no one cares about that. And the abuse of welfareism and all the problems go on with illegal immigrants. We just like to see somebody somewhere get a hold of things and shake things and say, hey, that's enough. We're going to stop this. We're going to make things right. But I want to tell you something. It's not going to happen by someone being elected to the White House. It's not going to be elected, not be done by who we put in Congress or on the Supreme Court. That won't get it done. That's a losing ball game. But I'll tell you who will do it. The Lord. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And I read to you from the 19th chapter of Revelation, that's the end of the book. That's the end of the time. That's the last chapter. That's the end of the ball game. And the score was this: the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's the bottom line. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And that's the secret of the Lord that God's people know. And it is a comfort and a strength to us day by day, so that we can say, I will not be envious of the workers of iniquity, and I'll not follow their ways, because I know what's going to happen. Y'all can just go right on, because the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. You can just go right on. An old spiritual song many years ago, run along for a long time, but great God Almighty is going to cut you down. That's true. That's what's going to happen, and that's what's happening in this world. The wicked seem to flourish and prosper, but the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And the secret that God's people know is He reigns, and He will reserve His people in righteousness and deliver them from every trial. But the wicked are reserved on the day of judgment. May the Lord bless the thoughts to our hearts as a means of encouragement and comfort to all of us.